for you. It might be something that you'd like to do, but you need to understand it is an outreach. Okay? So we're reaching out to people in the community. So that's the context you'll be coming into. It's really important you understand that, because if you come with expectations of a normal service, they might not be met. Okay? So that's important to understand. It's an outreach. But if you think, but it will focus on children, it will help the children, it will bless the children, and it will also focus on adults. So there'll be stuff there for adults as well, but it won't be a normal format. So please bear that in mind. So resetting your boundaries. Because of all the things we're doing, it's really important for us to have a look at the boundaries that we're living in. Psalm 16, verse 1 to 6 says this. David, the context is this. David is under persecution. David is stateless. He has no nation to call his own because he's chucked out. He's persecuted by Saul. And he has to not just run away, but he has to find a context in which he can live. He is stateless. He no longer, if you like, is welcome in his own home country. And so David is struggling, and he considers his situation. And this is what he says in response to the context he finds himself in. Persecuted by the leaders of his nation. Thrown out of his nation. In a situation where he's not welcome. He's not welcome because he's a threat to the nation. And this is what he says. Psalm 16, verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Wow. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the number ones, in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion. The word portion there is made up of two Hebrew words. Menath and Shalek. And from this word we understand Shalek means tract or territory. It defines a space, a place, if you like. You alone are my territory, are my portion, and a tract of land, of like the real estate that belongs to me. You alone are my portion. When people are distributing the land and taking it for themselves, well, I have this to say in response. You are my portion. You are my tract of land. You are my home. You belong to me and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. It's important to understand that in the middle of persecution and difficulty and hardship, or whenever you're seeking to function in this life, just in the normal course of life, you will always come across boundary lines. Can we have the first slide, please? And, if you want to make progress in life, you're going to come across boundaries. And some boundaries are heavily guarded and fortified. You know, for example, if you want to go to America and you come from Mexico, you might have to climb a few walls, Or if you want to come to the UK, you got to have a visa, you got to have a passport, And or even if you want to go to the European Union, Now, when we go to South Africa, it's interesting. If you have a British passport, you can all visit South Africa. You don't need a visa. But if you come from South Africa and you try to come to Britain, you need a visa. It's really strange. Who knows why? But this is the fact. Whatever boundary lines that you seek to traverse, to cross, there will, some of them are heavily guarded and contentious. And so David remembers the persecution that he experienced under the hand of Saul. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 26, they have driven me out that I should have no share in the heritage of my Lord, saying, go serve other gods. That's what they said to David. You know, go away. You don't belong here. Leave. But David's response to all of this, despite the fact he had nothing, he had to start again from scratch. Whatever he had before, the honor and the dignity and the respect that he had before, he no longer had those things. He had nothing. In the eyes of ordinary people, they would look at him and think he had nothing. But this is David's response. It may look like I have nothing, but with God, I have everything. It may look like everything's been taken away from me, but God, you are my portion. No. I will not serve foreign gods. I will not bow down to them as they've told me to go and do. No. You alone, oh my God. You alone will I worship. I may be driven out of the kingdom, but I have a king. I have a Lord who reigns in my heart. I have you. And though I may be out of the natural kingdom, I'm living altogether in a different place in my heart and in my mind. I'm a citizen of your kingdom. And because of this, I will not be shaken or moved. David has triumphed over his doubts. He's overcome his fears and his anxieties. He's overcome his circumstances. His circumstances do not dictate his future or his destiny. He refuses to live under a fear, anxiety, or doubt in his life. He puts his trust in God. You know, this is how David thinks. I may have nothing left, but I have God. And if I have God, I have everything that I need. I mean, think about this. What did they take from David? They took his wife. They took all his possessions. They took his job. They took his title. They took everything from David. He had nothing left. Yet here he is standing before God saying, I have everything. Saying, because I have you, I have security. Because I have you, I have a ministry. I am your portion and inheritance. That's what God says to his people. And David takes a hold of this. David believes this. You are my inheritance. Now, if God is your inheritance, how much do you have? If God is your inheritance, I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe one day, when your daughters get married, you might want to give them the wedding dress. You can marry them. Nope. Maybe one day when you—I don't know—you have any sons? Yes, one son is it? One son and two. One son with it. So maybe one day when your son wants to get married, you're getting your suit. If it will fit him. I'm sure you were very slim and, you know, just too slim. You're so slim. You know, maybe when you think about inheritance, you think about one day what you're going to have. One day what will be passed on to you. When David thinks about this, he thinks, I have God. I have God as my inheritance. If you have God as your inheritance, what is it that you're lacking? If God is your inheritance, what is it that you don't have? Well, this is how David thinks. I need you to understand this. You know, he realized that being disinherited, even that can be an honor. Having people say that they take away from you what belongs to you, even that can be an honor. Why? Because he has the Lord. Don't fret if your inheritance has been taken from you. Don't fret. Don't be anxious if the things that you hope to have one day are no longer there. Don't fret. Why? Because if God is your inheritance, you're going to gain something in Jesus' name that no man or woman could ever give to you. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. If God is your portion, then you need to rest in your spirit and trust him that he will deliver into your hands those things that maybe the enemy took away from you. What we learn from David is this. Next slide, please. Next one. Okay. The boundaries that we face in life can be hard or soft. They can be visible or invisible. They can be governed by laws. When we're talking about national boundaries, those are governed by laws. Or they can be claimed by somebody else. Somebody else might say, that belongs to me, like a boundary stone. You know, you've crossed over a boundary. Whatever kind of boundary that you face, however hard or soft they happen to be, next slide, please. David chose to live within the context of spiritual boundaries. So he didn't just reckon the natural boundaries, the physical boundaries that he experienced, and that was the end of the story. No, he chose to live in his mind according to the spiritual boundaries that God has declared over his life. So David's thinking is different to the thinking of many people. I want to say this, the transformation of your fortunes in this world begins with the transformation of your thinking. The way you think about the context you're in will have a big impact on the experience you have. Let me give you a really simple example. Just simple example. If I was to say to Wansi, would you mind just standing beside me? Now watch this. I want you to watch something very carefully. So Wansi, please come and stand beside me and just face the audience. Now, I haven't said anything yet. What's Wansi doing? She's smiling. Okay?
I'm nervous.
You're nervous. Now, Wansi, one of the things about Wansi I love about Wansi is she always has amazing hairdos. Okay? Her hair is always amazing. I mean, do you agree? Yeah. You may sit down, Wansi. Thank you very much. Give her a clap, okay? That's Wansi. And then we have the wonderful Adrian. Okay? Now, Adrian, you mind standing up? Come on, Adrian, stand up. Just join in, humor us. Turn around, Adrian. Now, there you go. Again, before I say anything, he's smiling. Okay? Give Adrian a clap. This is something really important. When you know that people love you and care about you and speak over you, it makes you feel great. It makes you feel good. I love this man. He's a servant first and foremost. I just remember the baptistry. My first encounter with this man was, we need the baptistry, can we do it? He said, yes, we can. Everybody else says, no, we couldn't. He said, yes, we can. Give him a clap. That's why we have a baptistry. Now, The natural disposition of humanity is to speak well about one another. The work of Satan is to bring conflict, contention, discouragement, discord, abuse into relationships, disguised as constructive criticism. There's nothing constructive about negative speaking over people's lives. Nothing at all. Challenge, yeah, you should challenge people's behavior. But you should always speak well about people. Because that's what God does. God never speaks negatively about anybody. He speaks negatively about sin, but not about people. And so David's understanding about God is very different. He doesn't believe he's got nothing just because materially he has nothing. He believes he has everything. His thinking changes his fortune. In fact, because of how he thinks, it makes an impact upon his future and his destiny. How you think about what God feels about you is important. God thinks you're special. God believes in you. God loves you. God didn't want a world without you in it. So he made you, created you, so you could be in this world, because he believes the world is a better place with you in it. And so we understand and we see David thinking, if God is my portion, what have I got to worry about? God is my king, what have I got to worry about? God is in my life, of whom should I be afraid? God is with me. Now, so the transformation of your fortunes begins with the transformation of your thinking about God. Look, I always believe that whenever I go, I'm going to change the atmosphere. Why? Well, I mean, not just because I've got amazing shoes on. I mean, if you can't see the shoes, let me help you. Not just because of these amazing shoes. Not just because the pastor dresses very smartly. I mean, Joanna just always color coordinated. Mabel, there's Mabel. No, not because of how we look externally, but because of he that dwells within us. The Bible says that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. If this is true, then what it means is everywhere you go, someone greater than the context you're in has arrived. Jesus. Jesus dwells in you. He lives in you. If you truly believe it, then you will change the context in every situation you find yourself in. You will change it. Why? Because Christ dwells in you. Christ brings hope. Christ brings glory. Christ changes the environment. When I was in Geneva on Friday, I asked the question, how old do you think I am? And the congregation went from 32 to 48. I just said, well, I'll take all of those ages. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. It's an age range. And what I said to them is this. I said, well, the reality is this. Black don't crack. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression before. But it's really hard to tell how old a black person is because they're just so handsome like me, you see. And I believe that wherever I go, not because of how good looking I am, although thank God I am good looking, not because of how good looking I am, but because of Christ that dwells in me. If you really believe that Jesus lives in you, then wherever you go, you can change the environment. Now, so when I look at myself in the mirror, I look and think, oh God, thank you for such a wonderful man. Thank you, God, for this handsome pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's really important. about how we think about ourselves. If you stand in front of a mirror and you say, I look so ugly, this is not a good thing. Why? Why is it not a good thing? Because Jesus said, okay, he told us that we should love people like we love ourselves. That's what Jesus said. We should love people like we love ourselves. Is that right? So if I hate myself, if I stand in front of the mirror and say, you are ugly, and is that how I'm going to love people? No, I've got to learn to love who God has made me. I've got to learn to love myself. Why? Because if I'm going to love people outside, if I'm going to change the environment, I will change the environment because I'm thinking correctly. And that's what David had. Didn't matter what boundaries in life he encountered, he believed that God loved him. He believed that God was with him. It might have been a difficult boundary to cross over into the promise of God. It might have been really hard because God promises the land. He says it's yours, but now we've got to fight for it. Are we really going to fight for it? Yes, you've got to contend and fight for it. Okay, God, you promised the land. I'm going to fight for this thing. And I know if I fight for it, because you've spoken, I will enter the land and take possession of it. Now, God hasn't said there won't be struggle in achieving the things he's called you to. There will be struggle. There will be tears. There will be hardship. Yes, there will be. But he's also promised that he will be with you every step of the way. And many of you have had to cross new boundaries. You've had to learn English. I think English is just a little bit harder than Cantonese. You should try Scottish.
Yes, right.
You've had to learn how to apply for jobs. Another boundary. How to cope with the culture that your children are now living in, which is very different to the culture you've come from. Many of us come from different cultures. Each one a boundary that you had to contend with, you had to overcome. You had to fight through. And in all of this journey, God has been with you. God has protected you. God has honored you. God has looked after you. God never abandoned you. In the toughest of moments when you could no longer carry on, God carried you. Boundaries are contested. Now, I want you to understand this. Next slide, please. Actually, that one's not going to work, but let me just say this. Every boundary that you face is contested by three powers. Okay. Every time you try to move into a new breakthrough in your life, you will face opposition from one of three sources, or maybe even all three, but you'll certainly face opposition from one of three sources. The first source of opposition that you will face might be from people. So you might get people say, no, you cannot put a baptistry in. You can't do it. It's not possible. And then you get an engineer like Adrian who doesn't follow conventional methods. Say, don't worry, Pastor, we can do it. Okay, but the initial contention that John and I and Mabel faced was, you can't do this. It's not possible. People always say that, forgetting that actually Christ has empowered us, enabled us to do impossible things. We can do impossible things. You've just got to believe it. You've got to trust his word. With man, it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. Even impossible things. So the first opposition you face is what people will say to you about what you can do. Some people will tell you very quickly, you're no good at this, you can't do that. Forget this. Why are you trying? Why are you trying? You don't have the qualifications. Well, one of my daughters in the Lord, Rachel Owen, Gareth's wife, I'm so proud of her. So proud of her. She ended up running a school without the qualifications to run a school. Just like, how do you do that? How do you do that? When God is with you, you can do things that are impossible. And so we understand people will tell you, you can't do things. You've got to decide who you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to God? Or are you going to listen to people? Who are you going to listen to? Now, please understand this. As the senior minister of the church, I don't do anything without asking permission. I need you to really hear this carefully. I don't just do what I like. I always ask permission. I ask permission from Joanna and Mabel. I ask permission from the apostolic team. I ask permission of whoever's leading worship. If I want to do something, I come to them and say, do you mind if I do this? Is this okay? I don't just do what I like. I want to know that other people also believe this is a good thing. In other words, it's important for every Christian to be willing to listen to other Christians and take advice from them. A Christian who cannot take advice or submit to other Christian is a lone ranger. Okay? It's not a safe Christian to be around. A Christian who cannot take input from other Christians is not a safe Christian to be around. Why? Because we must submit to one another. This is really important. I must submit to you. You must submit to each other. We all must submit to one another. This is important. So when a Christian will not offer accountability about their life to other fellow Christians that they're on a journey with, this is a dangerous place to live as a Christian. Having said that, when God speaks to you, you must have courage to believe what God says to you and contend for it. But you know what I found is that when people say, oh no, Pastor Yinka, you mustn't do that, I just have to wait. Then God will speak to them. Then when God speaks to them, then I can do it. Okay? So sometimes you just have to wait. Because you're dealing with godly people, people who love the Lord. And when you're in the context of people who love the Lord, you've got to be willing to listen. But sometimes people will tell you things that are not true. They say, you can't do it, you're no good. Who do you think you are? That's how the devil speaks. The second source of opposition that you will face are from demonic powers. Now, you may think there's no such thing as demonic powers, but I want to warn you very carefully. If you were Daniel and you were praying, okay, Daniel was praying, why? Well, Daniel was praying because he had, if you like, a desire to see God intervene in what was going on in the land, and he spent 3 weeks in prayer, seeking the face of God for the land. And he was getting nowhere. And then an angel came to him and told him why he had not been, you know, he'd not received the answer. And the angel said to him, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me, okay, for 3 weeks. Now, so in the spiritual realm, there are battles going on over territory. Right now in Israel, there's a battle going on the ground for the land in Israel. In the realm of the spirit, there are spiritual battles going on, contention for boundary lines and territory. Which is one of the things that makes the turning extraordinary. The fact that the turning has gone to many, many nations is incredible. Incredible. Why? Because there's contention for all of those spaces. Some of the things in your life, you're facing contention from supernatural forces, and you need to know the difference between what looks like a coincidence and what is actually the enemy standing against you, opposing you. How do you discover this? Through prayer. Through prayer. You talk to your Heavenly Father, you pray. And then the third, if you like, source of contention for entering into a promise that you're fighting for and that you want to see God bring you into is the way that you think. What's happening in your own heart? If your own heart is full of unbelief and doubt and fear and anxiety, these can be very difficult things that you need to face into, acknowledge, and deal with in your life. God's boundaries bring you into a place of peace and security. The way Paul puts it is this, the Apostle Paul says this, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every time you have a revelation of the goodness of God, every time you have a revelation of God's love for you, every time you have a revelation of God's purposes in your life, it leads to a breakthrough in your life. Every time you see Jesus for who he truly is, you see another aspect of him, another angle. You get to look into his eyes and you see the communication of love into yours. Every time you have a revelation of God, it changes how you think and how you perceive yourself. And for Paul, facing all the difficulties and challenges in life, he now came to a place that it didn't matter what the opposition was. It didn't matter what the boundary was. He was aligned with God as a priest, like David was. It doesn't matter what he faces. He was convinced nothing could separate him from God's love. That's where David lived, in the knowledge of the love of God. I pray this morning that God would open our eyes, God would open our understanding of how precious we truly are, and that whatever boundaries you're facing now that you want to enter into, things you need to overcome, that God is with you in it. You're not alone. You're not alone. I don't know, I can tell you about African culture. In African culture, Nigeria, African culture, we can be very proud. We don't want to tell anybody what our problems are. You know, in African culture, we will sort our own problem out ourselves. Nobody needs to know we have a problem. We will come to church and smile. But actually, when Nigerians become Christians, it takes a while, but eventually they begin to open up and say, I need help. I have a problem in my home. I have a problem with my children. I need help. And it's really important, whatever the culture you've got, whatever culture you come from, that you come to a place where, like David, you're able to acknowledge the truth about the context you're in, but put your faith in God. That what, despite the problems you're facing and the difficulties you have, God will bring you through in Jesus' name. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Don't hide. Don't pretend. Be an authentic Christian. Be a genuine Christian. Be open. Be transparent. Be honest. So that God can make the difference in your life. If you're this moment in time facing a boundary in your life and you're really struggling, you're finding it hard to break through, it's a real struggle for you. For you, it might be you're still looking for a job and you don't have one yet. Okay? It might be an issue with the school where your children are at. In other words, you've got something you need to overcome, territory you need to take. Then I'd like to pray for you this morning if you're struggling and you need some prayer. In fact, we'll get the leaders in the church to pray with you in a second. But if you're struggling with an issue and you just want some prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you just stand up where you are right now. I'd love to pray for those who are struggling and are looking for God to help them with a breakthrough in their context. So if that's you, will you stand up where you are now? Thank you, young man. Is there anybody else? We have just one young man struggling, looking for God to help him with a breakthrough. Is there anybody else that needs prayer this morning? Jana, would you mind just going to pray for him? Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you care. Oh, you're coming to the front. Okay, we'll pray for you up here. Bless you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this young man. Joel. Father, we thank you for Joel. We thank you, Lord, for his humility and his expressed desire to see a breakthrough in his life. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you will help him. Lord, you will bring him through. Father, we pray that even as he cries out to you this morning, that he will know your goodness, your love, that he will know you carrying him. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Bless you, Joel. Can I have a seat? Give him a clap. What a brave boy. Secondly, you had a testimony about overcoming fear, which I thought was really powerful this morning. If you're here and you're carrying a fear in your heart that you would also love God to set you free from, it might be a fear of spiders, or it might be a fear for your life, like we heard. All of these things are actually very, very important. Some of them might feel like, oh, that's not important, but every fear is actually important to the person that has it. It's a real problem for them. So if you've got a fear that you'd love God to deliver you from, then will you stand up where you are right now and we'll pray for you to be delivered of your fear. Wow. Nobody's afraid of anything. This is amazing. I know. So I'm going to ask one more time. I don't want to put anybody in any pressure. Okay, so don't feel any pressure. But I'm going to ask one more time. If you're carrying fear in your heart and you'd love Jesus to set you free from it, okay? Something that's been troubling you, like you heard so powerfully shared in that testimony. Something that is always with you. It always affects your life. And you want to be free. Please stand up where you are now and we'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. We're getting through the cultural gap. Yes. Hallelujah. We're getting through the cultural gap. Okay. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. That you there's a fear in your life. Nothing to be ashamed of. Actually, it's so important that you can ask for help. Okay? So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Pastor Joanna. Okay. Just put your hand in your heart for me, those of you who are standing. Just put your hand in your heart. Father, we know that perfect love casts out all fear. And Lord, in the testimony we heard from our sister, you spoke into her heart. And when you spoke, everything changed. Father, we pray that your love would flood our hearts, removing the fear. Father, we pray that you'd speak your words of comfort. We bind the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We bind the lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we speak freedom over our brothers and sisters. We say, today it stops. This fear no longer having dominion. This fear no longer having power over their lives. We break its power in Jesus' name. And we speak liberty over them. In the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. I'm just going to ask the ladies to have a chat with Joanna afterwards. And if the gentlemen can chat with each other, that'd be great. One final prayer. We're going to start a new service, outreach service. Can I just ask those who are involved to stand up where they are? Would you mind if you're involved in this new outreach service? Please stand up where you are. All of you who are involved. Wonderful. I'm involved as well. I'm so excited. And there's more with the rest of them. Yep, wonderful. Who else is involved? Might as well, he might have gone to the gentleman's or something. Okay, so can I just ask, I'd really love to ask, can Stephen, would you mind coming to pray for us all? Would you mind, Stephen? Yeah, thank you. Come and pray for this. Because this is a new boundary that we're going through. And I have to say, I'm so impressed with this woman, Jane, because she's been here right from the beginning, and she's still here. Amazing woman of God. Amen? Amazing woman of God. I know she's English, so she'll now be embarrassed, but it's a wonderful testimony of faithfulness. You know, where others have left, she's still here, and still helping to pioneer. I thank God for leaders like this. So, Stephen, please pray for us.
When I pray, I will invite every brother, sister, our eyes, just look to the cross. And then we close our eyes and pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Help us fix our eyes only on your cross. Because you sacrificed yourself and died for us. You left us. We just look to you. Help us fix our eyes so that we only focus on you. Because the cross, you died for us. It's the source of our strength and confidence and trust. Because you are the God with mercy, faithfulness, and goodness. And the love from your cross give us confidence and coverings. May the Holy Spirit cover all our brothers and sisters. They are going to, they're working, they're going to participating in the outreach activities. Because all of them are your sons and daughters. They are not alone. You work with them. You are their strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We pray in your precious name. Amen.